Jesus was our forerunner, the Bible says. He went before us to show us the way, to show us how to live. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, the Bible says this, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." That's why Paul could say in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Yeah, just put those two verses together. God knows our limit. He knows how much we can take. Why? Because He's walked the road before us. He knows what temptations that we will face in this life. He knows us, how strong we are. And therefore, He says, because I know what you're going to face, and because I know you, I will guarantee you that I will never let come into your life something you can't handle. I'll always give you a way to bear it. I'll always give you a way to escape. Now, only He could make that promise. Nobody else could make that promise. Because He walked every road that we will walk. He suffered every trial that we will suffer. He knows everything that we will face in this life. That's why He said to His disciples, He said, "Follow me." He didn't say, "Hey, you lead the way and I'll follow you." But He said, "You follow me. I'll lead the way." That's why we sing that little chorus. "My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Strength for today is mine all the way, and all that I need for tomorrow. The Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow." And that's all we have to do, is follow Him. That it's true not only in life, but also in death. In Psalm 23, verse 4, the Bible says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me." When I get ready to die, when you get ready to die, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't need to be afraid. It's just a shadow of death, the Bible calls it, because you will never really die, because you'll go to heaven. Your body will die, but you will never be separated from God. And the Bible says that Jesus has gone before us in death. And when we get ready to die, He'll come back and He'll walk through that valley of the shadow of death with us. And so we don't need to be afraid. The trial was over. Jesus had been examined by Pilate. He'd been sent to Herod and then back to Pilate. Pilate could find no fault in Him, but ignoring the warning from his wife, he sentenced Him to be crucified. I've told you before from this place that men, sometimes you need to be careful about listening to your wife. And I pointed out the first two men in all of history that listened to their wife got in real trouble. Adam listened to Eve about the fruit and got kicked out of the garden. And Abraham listened to Sarah about going into Hagar, and the Jews and the Arabs have been fighting ever since. So, but on other occasions, you ought to listen to her, as Pilate should have in this case. She sent word to her husband, "Hey, I've suffered many things in a dream. Have thou nothing to do with this just man?" And you might say, "Well, preacher, when am I supposed to listen to my wife and when am I supposed to ignore her?" You'll have to figure that out on your own. Use the wisdom. The Bible says, "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally." So ask the wisdom. The soldiers took him. They slapped him. They punched him. They crowned him with a crown of thorns. They plucked out his beard. They beat him with rods. They spit on him. They whipped him. And then they took him to a hill called Golgotha, and they nailed him to an old rugged cross and crucified him. Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate and begged the body. And he and Nicodemus took the body down from the cross, and they laid it in a newly carved out tomb. For 3 days and for three nights, Jesus lay in that tomb. Now it was early on Sunday morning. We read from Luke chapter 24 where it says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher." They came to the grave. We turn over to Mark chapter 16, and you don't need to do that. I'll read it for you. But we read that they that is talking about here were three ladies. In Mark chapter 16, verse 1, the Bible says, "And when the Sabbath was passed, Saturday was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him." I just ask you to think about those ladies for a minute. Ask you to think about what they expected to find. First of all, they expected to find a sealed grave. They expected to find a grave with a stone still in the front of it. In Mark chapter 16, verse 3, the Bible says, "And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher?" And when they got there, they were surprised, because the Bible says, "And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great." What else did they expect to find? Well, they expected to find a body. They expected to find the dead body of Jesus. They did not know that Nicodemus had brought spices when he and Joseph had buried Jesus. And so they had brought spices so that they could anoint or could wrap those in the grave cloth with his body, as was the custom back in that day. And so they came expecting to find a body in that tomb. And when they got there, they were surprised. In Luke chapter 24, verse 3, the Bible says, "And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus." They were puzzled. The Bible says they were perplexed, much perplexed. Instead of finding a body, they found two men in shining garments, and they asked this trio of ladies this question: "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" Why are you looking for somebody that's alive in a graveyard? I mean, every other grave in this cemetery has dead bodies in it, but you have come looking for somebody that's no longer dead. Why are you looking for him here? Don't you remember what the master said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 40? "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Don't you remember what Jesus said in John chapter 2:19? "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Don't you remember what he said in John chapter 14, verse 6? "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Don't you remember what he said? Don't you remember what he did? Don't you know who he was? Why are you looking for the giver of life here in the cemetery? And then the angel made this statement: "He is not here." He's not here. He's not here. He's defeated death. He's defeated grave. That's why Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" And I was thinking this week, I wonder how many people are still in the cemetery, are still in the graveyard, because they haven't claimed the victory that Jesus won when he went into that grave and 3 days and three nights later came out. That same chapter in Corinthians says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." So here's what I want to preach about this morning. The angel said, "He is not here." I want to add a question to their questions. Why are you? He is not here. Why are you? Why are you still in the graveyard? Why are you still in the cemetery? And I want to say three things this morning. Number one, a cemetery is a place of death. My brother, not the youngest one, but the second one next to me, is the king of cornball jokes. You can ask my mom and dad, and they'll agree. Ain't that right, Dad? The king of cornball jokes. If he would hear, he would ask the question. You've heard this. Why are there fences around cemeteries? Because people are dying to get in. And see, cornball jokes, that's his specialty. You'd like him, Nick. But that's why Jesus was there. He was dead. And he wasn't just dead, he was dead. He was dead physically. The Roman cross had taken care of that. But he was also dead spiritually. He was separated from God when he was in that cemetery. When he lay in that grave, he was suffering the price of our sins. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And you say, preacher, just a minute. Earlier you quoted a verse in the beginning of your sermon where you said, he was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. Jesus did not die spiritually for his sins. You're right. He died for our sins. He died for the sins that we have committed. It says in Isaiah chapter 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquities of us all. Here's what happened. Jesus was not a sinner. He was tempted in all points like as we, and yet he never fell to temptation. He never sinned. And yet you and I are sinners. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And what we deserve is that penalty for sin. Death, spiritual death, being separated from God. And what Isaiah was talking about hundreds of years before it happened was that God was going to take all of my sin and take all of your sin and lay them on Jesus Christ. And when he went to the cross and when he died, Jesus paid for every one of our sins. That's why in Isaiah 53 it says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was buried for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. I'm a sinner this morning. I deserve death. I deserve separation from God. I deserve a devil's hell. But I don't have any of those things this morning, and neither do you if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, because he took my place and he took your place. Why? Why? Because God loved us. He did not want us to suffer the price for our sins. He did not want us to be separated from him. He does not want us to go to hell. The Lord's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You listen to me this morning. This may be your first time here, or you may have been here hundreds of times. God does not want anybody to go to hell. He wants everybody to be redeemed. He wants everybody to come to Jesus Christ. He wants everybody to go to heaven. In Romans 5:8, the Bible says, but God commendeth or proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I tell you what, I'm glad God didn't wait till I cleaned up my act before he sent Jesus to die for me. I'm glad he didn't wait for me to turn over a new leaf and get everything straightened out. I'm glad when I was a sinner, Brother John, when I was turned my back on God, when I didn't want nothing to do with God, a Savior came from heaven and took my place on the cross. Took your place on the cross. He's not in the grave anymore. That cemetery is a place of death. Not just physical death, but spiritual death as he was separated from God. But the angel said, he's not here. He's not here. Why are you? Why are you? Why would you reject the Savior? Why would you reject the love of God? Why would you continue to stand under the condemnation of your sins? Why would you stay in death? This morning, I encourage you, get out of the cemetery. Come on out of the graveyard. Get out of the grave. Get out of that place of death. Take the gift of salvation. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Would you take that gift this morning? Would you get out of the graveyard? Get out of that place of death. Get out of that place of condemnation. Get out of that place of separation from God and come to Jesus Christ and take the gift of salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, the Bible says. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. He's not here. Why are you? Why are you? You came in this morning without knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're still in that graveyard. Get out of it. Come to Jesus Christ. Number two, the cemetery is a place of fear. A place of fear. When we first got married, we lived in Indiana. We didn't have a lot of money, so we figured out where to go on cheap dates. The cemetery was a place I liked to go. You could go out there at dusk, and you could walk through the cemetery, and then as it got dark, your honey would just get closer to you because she got scared. Larry used to do that. Raise your hand, Larry. Larry used to do that with Bev until one night Bev fell in an open grave. And he never got her to go back after that. I'm telling the truth, right? Okay, I want to make sure. I was down in Jacksonville this week, and we'd been praying for the guy that used to manage the plant down there. And I saw him on Monday night, and then I saw him again on Wednesday night at 7:30, about a quarter to 8. And we left the house, and before I got back to the hotel, his wife called and said he passed away about a quarter till 9. And we talked a little bit on the phone, and I called her again the next day. And like anybody in that situation, she was worried about what was going to happen, a little bit scared. And I talked to her a little bit. And remember, I shared with you, and I shared with her on Monday night when I was over there, and I shared with her again on Wednesday night. I said, you know, Mary Ann, I had the privilege of talking to Charlie about Jesus. And I believe from his own testimony that he asked Jesus to be a Savior. And the same God that took him to heaven is the same God that will watch over you. In 1 John 4:18, the Bible says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Let me ask you, who is perfect love? Let me give you the answer. Jesus Christ is perfect love. Remember that night on the Sea of Galilee, his disciples were in that ship in the middle of a storm, and they were rowing for all they were worth. They thought they were going to perish in the storm, and they look out across the sea and they saw what they thought was a ghost coming toward them. And Jesus cried out, "It is I. Be not afraid." And I say to every person that's here this morning that's afraid. You might be afraid of what the doctors told you. You might be afraid because the economy don't look so hot. You might be afraid because some other things are happening in your life. And there are people sitting all over this room this morning that have things going on in their life that would cause them to be fearful. I'll just remind you that the same God that sent Jesus to die for your sins is the same God that knows what's going on in your life and watches out for you. Helen told me one time, she says, "Preacher, you know, the word be not afraid is, or fear not, is in the Bible 365 times. One time for every day of the year." And then I got to thinking, well, what about leap year? And she came back and she said, "Preacher, I found one more. There's 366. So what are you afraid of this morning? Cemetery's a place of fear, but the one who defeated death is perfect love, and perfect love casteth out fear. And then number three, as I hasten to close, cemetery's a place of discouragement. That particular cemetery was. We read in the same book, Luke chapter 23, about two men, disciples of Jesus, who were on their way to a little place called Emmaus. And they were discouraged. They were downhearted. They were sad. Jesus comes to them, and they didn't recognize him, and he asked them, why are you so discouraged? Why so sad? Why are you talking like this? And you remember the story. They told him. And Jesus went back to the very beginning of the Bible. And from the Bible, he showed them all the scriptures that talked about how he would be crucified but rise again. Peter was discouraged. I mean, in John chapter 21, the Bible says he went fishing, took other disciples with him, because he didn't know, he just didn't know what was going on. He'd seen the Lord, but he didn't know what was going on. This morning, I say to every single person that's discouraged, the one that came out of that tomb, the one that defeated death, the one that gave us the victory by doing that, is the one that gives us hope. Listen, why should I be discouraged? I have someone who has paid for all of my past. I can say like the Apostle Paul, forgetting those things which are behind. They're all under the blood. I can get forgiveness for every single one of them by what Jesus did for me on Calvary. Yeah, I'm going to learn from the past, and I will regret some of the things I've done. But Paul says, hey, you can just forget them because he's paid for all your yesterdays. He also gives me what I need today. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know, sometimes we don't pay attention to the small words that are in the Bible. That verse says, but my God shall supply all your needs. He doesn't give us all we want. Sometimes our wanters are bigger than they need to be, and we want things that God knows that if he gives to us will mess us up. But he promises us that he will give us all we need. And why should I be discouraged? Why? I mean, he's paid for all my yesterdays. He gives me everything I need for today, and then I have blessed hope for tomorrow. I don't know about you, but I'm on my way to heaven. Terry, the Son of God who spoke, we talked about in Sunday school this morning in the kids' class, he spoke everything into existence. He's been working on a mansion for me for a long time, almost 40 years since I got saved. I'm going to heaven. This world's not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Let me ask you, are you going? Are you going? You going to heaven? You can. Jesus is the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. It's not our goodness, it's not our wisdom, it's not our religion, it's not our heritage. It is one thing. It is Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Would you get out of the cemetery this morning? Would you come from death to life? Would you come from fear to trust? Would you come from discouragement to hope? The Lord's not willing that any should perish. He paid for every one of your sins. And if you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for making it so simple.